Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We continue today to talk about the humility of Jesus, the exhortation of St. Paul to call us to be of one mind. I love this simple phrase here in chapter 2 of Philippians that it's easy just to read it and not stop and think about it. He said, if there's any participation in the Spirit, Paul is making an exhortation there and calling the Philippian community to unity. Unity of mind, unity of heart, and that unity is in imitation of the person of Jesus. He said, we need to have a mind, a way of thinking, which reflects a whole way of living. We want to think differently. We want to live differently. And what does that look like? And Paul puts his finger on humility, on Jesus' self-emptying. He became a servant. Remember, Jesus himself said, you know, I come among you as one who serves. And he said, don't be like many leaders in the world who lord it over when they have authority, when they have power. They like to show it off and they like to exercise it over people and some in terrible ways. But in many different ways, we oftentimes look down on other people, separating ourselves. And Jesus said, no, that's not, you can't be like this, Jesus said. You must be among my people as one who serves. And we all ought to serve one another, you know? And he says here, putting the interests of others before our own. Doesn't mean ignoring our own interests or ignoring our responsibilities or saying that they're good, I'm bad, I'm not worthy of anything else. No, we all see ourselves and we should see ourselves individually in the dignity of being children of God and the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, as I mentioned the other day, and just filled with dignity. And then we have a capacity because of it. We have a new mind so we can see the world differently. We can see people differently, which means we can act toward them differently. For example, Jesus hung on the cross. The very people that put him on that cross are standing there and they're cursing at him and they're mocking him and ridiculing him. And he's objectively way above them. I don't just mean because he's elevated on a cross, but he's the Son, eternally begotten Son of God. They're creatures. They're nothing. He's the infinite God. And he looks at them and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it's very easy to think, well, actually, they do know what they're doing, Lord. They wanted to kill you because you're a threat to them and they're bad people and they're your enemy. And what they're doing to you is totally unjust and it's horrible and they should be punished for it. You know, all those thoughts are very normal kind of thoughts to have, I think, as human beings. But Jesus is looking at them differently. What he's looking at is the manifestation of the enslaved state of the human race. What Jesus came to deal with was a race of people that were under dominion to demonic realities who are the enemy of God. Now, the devil's the enemy of God par excellence, but he's not God's equal. He's a creature. He is more powerful and different than we are in certain ways, right? But he's not even close to being God's equal. We're not living in the midst of a fight between two equal forces and who's going to win in the end. There's no question. Jesus already won the victory. And greater is he that's in you now than he that's in the world. So the worldly powers, the worldly spirits don't have authority to have dominion over you any longer if you're baptized into Jesus. But it's from the cross that you can see the optic of the mind of Jesus, and that means his heart, that means his whole decision, not just his brain, but his whole being and the core of his being and in his heart. And he looks at them after they mistreated him so badly, so horribly. The temple was built for him, and they don't see it. And what do they do? The holy city, which is for him, they don't see it. They drag him out of the city, which belongs to him, and they crucify him and humiliate him outside the wall. Total rejection, absolutely, completely undeserved and totally unjust and wicked at its core. And people did it with fire in their eyes, spitting anger at him. Some, right? And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Their senseless minds are darkened. And in some ways, Jesus is saying, Father, as I look down at them, I'm not looking at my enemies. I'm looking at your lost children, and I want to save them. They're so blind, Father. They're so lost. But may this offering of my life in love and obedience to you save this lost race of people. May my blood cleanse them. May this act of love, which is breaking the back of the pride of Satan and his rule and dominion on the earth, may it capture forever every single one who has raised a fist against me or has cursed me, because I want them to be my brother and my sister. And they're meant for you, Father, to live for you and to give you glory forever. Now that's the mind of Christ. That's a renewed mind. And so he's able to see, you might say, maybe this is too weak of a word, the potential of everybody, right? He can see that they're made in God's image and likeness and just how valuable and precious they are in God the Father's eyes. That's why they're valuable and precious. And so Jesus comes to save and to rescue them. And so he's able, in the position of knowing who he is, to know who they are. And this is what's crucial for us. The more we live in the awareness of the dignity of who we are as children of God, and we come out from under self-condemnation, the ruling of passions, of pride, of envy, of jealousy, of hatred, of bitterness, of unforgiveness, these kinds of things that still well up in us in different ways, to come out from under those things and to have the love of God, which is what? Which is the Holy Spirit poured into your heart, is what St. Paul said. He said, God's love has been poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. So you literally have what Jesus promised and the prophets promised. You have the fulfillment in your baptism and walking in the church and the sacramental life and the grace that flows between heaven and earth, and that's in you as a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have now a capacity to be of one mind with Jesus and to do things to honor what Jesus honors, what the Father honors. They honor humility, true humility. It's the only rational posture of the creature anyway, even though the blind state we're in is revealed so clearly through our pride. I mean, it's just so pathetic. We don't even know how we got here, why we're here. We're so dependent. Life is over very quickly. We battle sicknesses, diseases. Human beings are rarely happy. You know, they're struggling with this, that, or the other, all this stuff. We don't have the physical strength to oppose God, the Spirit. We have nothing. But we elevate ourselves above God. We want ourselves front and center. It's all about me. It's all about me, and everybody needs to know it's all about me. I mean, that's the core of the flesh, really, there. And it's present to some degree in everyone. And Jesus, Scripture says, Jesus knew what was in the heart of man. He knew and he understood. So the key to living and being of the same mind is to make sure that we're literally together participating in the Spirit, as Paul says. The only way we can love, the only way we can forgive, the only way change happens in us is by virtue of the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we need to be aware of who we are in the Spirit. So I'm going to read a set of passages that you can see the convincing call of St. Paul and his teaching and the apostle, other apostles doing the same thing. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 17, do you not know that you're God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? What a great question. Great question to ask yourself this morning. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So today, friends, when all the negative thoughts and negative feelings and disqualification and self-rejection and self-loathing and self-hatred or whatever you might be battling with, discouragement, depression, whatever, just feeling like you're of little or no value, just repeat Paul's question. Answer the question. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Just say it to yourself this morning. I am the temple of the living God. I'm not alone. The Spirit of God dwells in me. My life is of infinite value. I don't care how I feel right now at this moment. Feelings are data. They don't define reality. God defines reality. Truth is what defines reality. And the truth is this, that you're the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You've been purchased at a price. He's taken possession of you in baptism. Not a controlling, enslaving reality, but he's there. You belong to him, and you're precious to him. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you're holding to your faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you indeed fail to meet the test. This is such a good test. If you're driving to work today, or maybe you're getting kids ready for school this morning, or you're shaving, whatever you're doing, maybe you're sitting in a jail cell listening to this, or in a hospital, here's a good test to start the day. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? What a gift. What a gift. You know, from Calvary, you were his destination. He died on a cross so he could come and dwell in you. So the indwelling presence of God would not just be in a location like a temple or in a city like Jerusalem or in a holy land like Israel or whatever. It's the presence of God is dwelling within us. So we can say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. You were far off from the holy of holies, the holy place in the temple, the where God's presence was most powerful and clear. Those were symbols and realities. And yes, God was present there, but not like he intended to be, which is to dwell in the hearts of men and women. And that happened because of the blood of Jesus. Romans 8, 9. You, however, are not in the flesh because the Spirit of God dwells in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's, friends, what baptism and Pentecost and Eucharist and sacraments and community, that's what it's all about. That's it. That's where human history is headed. The fulfillment of God. I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. That's what it's all about. Blessed be God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Beautiful quote here in the program today from St. John Paul II about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said, the work of the third person of the Holy Trinity consists in making the risen Lord present and with him God the Father. The Spirit carries out this saving action by making God's presence immediate. Immediate. God wants you to know this and to experience, not just feeling, it's based on faith and truth, revelation, and saying yes to it, but he made you as a whole person. He wants you to know the joy and the security and having profound confidence in this core of your being that you're a child of God. And he wants you to experience the revelation of the Father and of the Son. We'll talk about that more tomorrow. Have your friends join as well. God bless you. Don't forget to download our app at renewalministries.net.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.